Okay, yeah, so Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Well, thanks for having us at your church this week. It's been a fantastic time. It's been great to look around Christchurch. It is a lovely place. The scenery is amazing. We've had a chance to get around. We've seen Christchurch. We went down to Lyttelton. We got up to Hamner Springs. But in our travels, a few of our team members have sometimes got themselves a little lost. On our first day, one of our team members, I won't mention which one, got lost twice on the first day and then again on the next day. On the second day, one of our team members turned up an hour and a half late because he was walking. He got so lost, he had to ask a workman for some directions, and the workman told him he'd been walking completely the wrong direction. I'm sure you've all been lost, or what you might call geographically challenged. But I want to think of some other times, some other ways we can be lost. A couple of years ago, one of my friends found himself very lost. We were at this lake in the middle of New South Wales. It wasn't quite as beautiful as the lakes around here, but it was a good way to escape the 40-degree heat. And so we were swimming in this lake. And in the middle of the lake, there was a pontoon, and on the pontoon was a slippery dip, or slippery slide, I think you call them here. It's good fun. But to get to this pontoon, you have to swim out. And it's a little bit deceptive. So from the shore, it looks like a nice short 10-meter paddle out. But as only as you swim out, you realize it's actually 20 or 30 or more meters out from the shore. And while we were there, one of my mates thought his young daughter would really enjoy the slide. So he started to swim out to this pontoon with her. And so there they're swimming out together, this dad and his little girl. They got halfway, and the pontoon was still a long way off. The water was getting deeper, too deep to touch the bottom. And this dad started gasping for breath, and he struggled to keep himself afloat. But worse, he was struggling to keep his little girl afloat. And they were all alone. Everyone else was either on the shore or on the pontoon. And as this dad trod water, as his strength was being sapped, there was nothing he could do. The water was too deep to stand. The shore too far away one way, the pontoon too far away the other. Can you see how in that moment, this dad and his daughter were truly lost? Not geographically lost, but lost because they're about to lose their lives. Fortunately, this story has a happy ending. Some of the team on that pontoon saw their struggle and came to their rescue. But this dad and his daughter, they knew what it was to be lost, and they knew what it was to be saved. This dad and the daughter and their mum were shaken up, but they were also overjoyed. Now, I have one more story about being lost, and it's from the Bible, and it's what we heard earlier. You might remember that in that story, we met a man called Zacchaeus, and he also knew what it was to be lost. He wasn't geographically lost, He wasn't lost like this, that dad and his daughter. He was lost in a different way. To see what I mean, let's look at what we can find out about Zacchaeus. We're not told too much about him, but we're given three small details, and that's what I want to look at. First of all, we find out what he does for a living. And he's a chief tax collector. Now, no one likes paying taxes. So you can imagine that maybe he got a hard time from his mates about his job. But for Zacchaeus, it was much worse than that. Because although we don't like paying taxes, and we complain about them, most of the time we get to benefit from them. So your taxes are paying for the rebuilding of this city, and you benefit from that. But in Israel, at this time, the taxes weren't going into the local city. They were going to another city, to Rome. They were going off to a far-off country because Israel was basically just a Roman colony. And the Romans employed people like Zacchaeus to collect the tax and send it back to Rome. Rome enjoyed the extra income. But as you can imagine, those in Israel hated having to give away their hard-earned money. And they hated the people who collected that money, which means that they hated Zacchaeus. So because of his job, he would have been excluded from all the social life of the city. And yet at the same time, life wasn't all that bad for Zacchaeus. Because the second thing we're told is that he was rich. We're not told here how he got his money, but it appears that these tax collectors often collected a little extra tax for themselves. It's a bit like one for Rome, one for me. It was legalized theft. And that's probably how Zacchaeus made his fortune, by stealing from his own people. And so, of course, as we'll see, the people hated Zacchaeus all the more. As a rich tax collector, he would have been incredibly unpopular. I hope you're getting a bit of a picture of who Zacchaeus is. But there's one more detail that we're given. You see, not only was he hated and unpopular, but he was short. And it's that last detail that caused him a bit of a problem. Because as we heard, Jesus was coming through town, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus, with all his miracles and his great teaching, had become quite famous. And so a crowd had gathered around him. And of course, that's a problem for Zacchaeus. How could this short little man see Jesus over the crowd? Well, I like what he does, because he uses his initiative. He runs ahead up the main street. He finds a tree close to the road, and he climbs up and waits for Jesus to come past. Picture it. Picture Zacchaeus up a tree on Colombo Road, and then picture Jesus walking past. Would Jesus even notice him up that tree? I mean, would Jesus just assume it must be a kid playing up in a tree? Or would he just be wondering, why is a grown man up a tree? Well, you probably wouldn't expect Jesus to strike up a conversation with him. But that's exactly what Jesus does. I listen again to what Luke records in verse 5. Notice how unlikely, how unexpected it is. This is what he says. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, the great teacher. And now Jesus has just invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Imagine Zacchaeus' joy and excitement. That's exactly what Luke describes in verse 6. He says, "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." See, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And now, out of the whole town, Jesus has chosen to stay with him. This outcast in society now knew what it was to be wanted by Jesus. Zacchaeus was hated by his own people, But Jesus wanted to be his friend. The crowd would complain that Jesus was staying with Zacchaeus. They would keep pointing out that he was a terrible sinner because of the way he had lived. But Zacchaeus' life had changed. He had gone from being hated by society to being friends with Jesus. It was one of those moments where a life was truly changed. And that change would affect his whole life. He would return the money he had stolen and give away great sums of his wealth. Zacchaeus would do that because of what Jesus had done for him. And Jesus sees his changed life and he gives Zacchaeus these words of assurance. In verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." See, Jesus says that salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the sinner, has been saved because Jesus found him. But then, of course, that is the very reason Jesus came in the first place. As he says in verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was to save what was lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's exactly what we see in the life of Zacchaeus, isn't it? The tax collector, there was no questioning that he was lost. Like many of us, he knew what it was to be lost. He knew the loneliness of being an outsider. But more than that, he knew the shame and disgrace of being a public sinner. And yet the Lord Jesus came looking for him. Out of everyone in the crowd, out of all the people in that city, which one was saved? In a way, it's the person you'd least expect. Jesus came to save the sinner. Zacchaeus was a sinner. There was no mistaking it. Everyone knew it. And Jesus came to save him. But I want to suggest that Zacchaeus wasn't the only person who needed saving that day. Because the Bible shows that Zacchaeus wasn't alone in sin. The Bible shows how all people, all of us, have ignored God. Now look at Zacchaeus. He had clearly not lived the way God wanted him to. What do you think that would have done to his relationship with God? His sin had broken any relationships he had in his community. But far worse, his sin had destroyed his relationship with God. See, we know what it's like when someone we thought was a friend turns their back on us. We know the anger and the hurt that we feel. We know that it can sever the relationship. But that's what sin does with our relationship with God. It drives a big wedge between us and God. And there's no greater way to be lost than to break the relationship we have with God. It means that when our time in this world is up, we are lost without hope. When we die, we can no longer turn to God because we've broken that relationship. So when the people looked at Zacchaeus, it was clear that he had not followed God. He was lost because, as a sinner, his relationship with God was in tatters. And yet at the same time, all the other people there too, it was the same for them. And it's the same for each of us. We have all turned our back on God. We've ignored him. We've not cared what he thinks. We've broken our relationship with God. And there's no greater way to be lost than that. And yet Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's why Jesus was passing through Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And he was going there with a very specific purpose in mind. He was going to Jerusalem where he would be crucified on a cross. The Lord Jesus was on his way to give up his life on a cross. and that was how he would save the lost. As God's Son died on that cross, he took our sin upon himself. And when he rose back to life, he showed that that great wedge between us and God had been removed. He restored our relationship with God so that now he could call us friends. That's how he came to save the lost. But perhaps as you have heard this, you still don't see why you need Jesus. Perhaps you just feel like the crowd. You can't see how you're lost. If that's you, I want to remind you of my friend at the lake. He was struggling to stay afloat. It would have been beyond foolish if he had denied that he was lost. What would have happened if, when his friends came to save him, he had said he didn't need any help? But Jesus did come to save us, and he came to fix our broken relationship with God. It's recorded in history in the Bible. The Lord Jesus came to save each and every one of us. All of us at Moore College and all the Christians who have started this new service, we all believe that without Jesus we are lost. We believe that he came to save us. And we each know the joy of living as his friends. And like Zacchaeus, it has changed each of our lives. There are many in this room who already know that joy. But if you're not convinced, if you're still wondering about it, please talk to one of the Christians here. Most of the Moore College team, we're heading back to Sydney tomorrow. But the ministers and the Christians here at Soul Focus would love nothing more than to chat with you and answer your questions, because they know there is nothing worse than being lost, but nothing better than being found. See, my challenge to you is to see what the Bible says about Jesus and what it says about you, and to see that we are all lost, whether we know it or not. But my hope is that you would be like Zacchaeus, that you would know that Jesus came to save you because he came to find you. But for others of you, that might be exactly what you've been hoping for. You might be like Zacchaeus, reminded every day of your sin. You know what it is like to be judged by people around you. Perhaps you look back at the things you've done, the things you've said, and it causes such anxiety in your heart. You lie in bed replaying in your mind the things you wish you had or had not done. Perhaps as we've looked at Zacchaeus, you realize that you've been ignoring God, and you know that your relationship with him needs to be restored. If that's you, let me assure you that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If you know you're lost, know that Jesus came looking for you. His promise is that he died to save you from your sins. So I'm going to finish up with a short prayer, thanking God for sending Jesus and asking God to help us follow Jesus. I'm going to read it now, and have a think about whether it's something you're ready to pray now. This is what the prayer says. We're praying to God, saying, "We know that we are all lost because we have ignored you and broken our relationship with you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to find us and to save us. Thank you that he died on the cross to take away our sins and to restore our relationship with you. Please change us so that we would now live as your friends." If you're ready to pray that, I'm going to pray it again out loud, and I'd ask you to pray along silently with me. So let's pray to our God who came to seek and save the lost. Let's pray. Dear God, We know that we are all lost because we have ignored you and broken our relationship with you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to find us and to save us. Thank you that he died on the cross to take away our sins and restore our relationship with you. Please change us so that we would now live as your friends. Amen. If you have just prayed that prayer with me, in a moment Chris will have a chat to you about how you can find out more about Jesus. But let me finish by just assuring you that Jesus has found you and he has saved you.